Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Something happened.
Had a good morning. Had a very, very good morning. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. And yeah, it's a good morning.
Yeah, something happened.
7:30 a.m., James Cook, four-year deal. He is staying with the Buffalo Bills. 4 years, $48 million. That is good for $12 million per year. Again, Derek, none of us really can predict how this is going to go. Because yesterday we talked with Sal Capaccio, and this was after James Cook returned to practice.
Right.
But all three of us were like, I don't necessarily know if this means a deal is imminent. It could just be, I heard Sal say it yesterday with Show Up in the Bulldog. Sal's always gotten the impression that Cook is in a way uncomfortable doing this, holding in, not practicing, what have you. We've talked about it. He always took the road less traveled during these negotiations. And yet, here we are. It appeared to come to fruition last night. I know Bean spoke on this earlier today, around 11 p.m. They kind of hammered it out, finalized it this morning. Cook signed it this morning. And off we go. 4 years, $48 million. $30 million of that is guaranteed, which is the most guaranteed money for any running back in the last 5 years. That is a big win for James Cook. And ultimately, where I sit on it, now it's been a few hours since it's happened, I'm fine with it. It's around the number that I was comfortable with. I think past $12 million, I was going to be kind of uncomfortable and I would not like it at all. He gets more than Kyron Williams, which I think is just, Williams touches the ball more. He also does less with it. So I'm good with it. I also think this is an extension that had to be signed when you look at the rest of the offensive skill positions.
I don't know about had to be signed, but I do look at it as they clearly see him as a driver of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give an extension to a running back if you don't think that he can, in these next 4 years, at minimum put up the same production that he's been.
Yeah.
I am fascinated, though, at the timing of this. It's a career high of 16 rushing touchdowns. The carries aren't always there. Brandon Bean even saying, we want to make sure that we keep him fresh. We'll use our other weapons as well. That is the part that gives me some pause.
Mm-hmm.
But I also thought all along that the Bills figured they couldn't afford him.
Yeah, that his price wouldn't go down to an affordable price. That eventually they would have to move on from, not because they necessarily wanted to, but because, as you point out, they couldn't afford him. In reality, it ends up being okay. $12 million is fine.
They get it done.
Yeah.
They meet in a middle ground that is probably at the threshold of comfort for a lot of fans.
Yeah.
In terms of cap percentage, cap number, it's not going to be a bargain for the Bills, which they got a couple of those this offseason with some extensions.
No, yeah, I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where we're sitting here going, Bean nailed it again, this is a bargain.
But I'm
especially
not going to.
Looking at the other four extensions they signed this year, I don't think we're ever going to get there.
But I'm not going to go ahead and say that Bean got pantsed on this one.
Right.
Like, it's market value.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably where you're going for that. If Cook got his demand, then yeah. But I also know that Bean's a good enough general manager, he wouldn't be the one being taken advantage of on that.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder what this could mean for cap ramifications going forward. Yes, the cap goes up every year. And it's the NFL. It goes up typically by crazy numbers. But you also still live in a league that has a cap.
Mm-hmm.
You can't retain everybody. It's quite frankly the message I'm trying to get to here.
Yeah, and in this offseason, excluding Josh Allen, he did get a new deal, but excluding him, he was already extended. James Cook, Benford, Rousseau, Terrell Bernard, Khalil Shakir, all signed new deals. And by the way, they're all four-year deals as well.
They're all four-year deals. This also screams, we know our window.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get this done within the next, I would say, the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get it done. You've been knocking on the doorstep now for what many fans may say is too long. Breakthrough. That's all we got to see. And that's the part that I'm not going to be nervous about. I'm just going to, you know, here we go.
Yeah, in a way, the starter gun has been fired. You have this. I mean, Bean even said it outright that this is the young core that they have signed. These are the guys they think are going to push them forward. Other guys as well could be looking at contract extensions in the next 2-3 years, like guys like Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, Osiris Torrance are going to be some of the names that we'll be hearing in the next few years that will be looking for extensions. Torrance is one that I am looking at, and I didn't even mention either. Connor McGovern is also going to be somebody that may look for an extension. We'll see if that is something that can get done. But they have very much set the table of like, okay, this is the group. You say 3 years, I'm looking a little bit more at 2. 3 is probably pushing it for me, but I think that's still fine. Like, I have no issue with that.
I go to all of them got 4-year deals.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine you want to get it done within that 4 years.
Right.
But then probably like something might happen to a player and turning the 4-year window into 3.
Mm-hmm.
My bet is sadly on the running back, but that's the position and how NFL contracts seem to work. It's also still the same message. Back to your regularly scheduled programming. The Bills are in a Super Bowl window. They know it. They've put a timetable on it, it looks like themselves, of we need to make sure we get this done within this stretch because now we've got 5 contracts that are going to come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you have nothing to come back from with that for another core, that's painful.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it too, and I know every show here has talked about how much the Bills have won yet have not even made a Super Bowl. If you go through 2 cores, and there are big extensions, and they're good players, but you don't win anything, you don't make the game, what have you. I mean, we talk about too how the losers are typically not treated well in history, especially in sports. This could be one of those where you're really not treated well. You know, look, Dan Marino is maybe like the biggest example of he never made us another Super Bowl after year 2, the whole thing. But his teams at times weren't very good. He was willing his team to 9-10 win seasons after the Super Bowl runs. That is not true of the Bills. The Bills are regularly the 2 seed, 11 to 13 wins every year. They are comfortably some of the best teams in the league. Statistically, across the board, it is not just Allen. This is where I also think it's, and it's James Cook Day, but this is where it's also, it's a big season for 3 men in particular. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Bobby Babich. You put a ton into the defense. If it is not significantly better than it was last year on crucial metrics, third downs, drives ending in touchdowns, sack percentage, pressure percentage.
Especially because of the fact that it's the general manager goes on record saying we focused our draft class on the defense.
Yeah, wide receiver's not where we failed kind of
deal. Exactly how, where I was going with
that.
You've now put yourself on record with that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not better, sure, you could have the second highest scoring offense. If the defense is not up to snuff, again, after you had said publicly that it let you down, then you're looking at different questions with the same intensity. It has to be the defense has to look better.
Yeah. It has to. And you loaded up so much with Sanders and Walker and Landon Jackson. You signed Joey Bosa. You bring in 2 other guys who all, both will be serving suspensions. Hoyt and Ogunjobi are going to be crucial in January. It is a big year for the defense, and it needs to get done. It needs to get done. 803-0550, the number to call it. Want to jump on the show. Give your thoughts on James Cook, who does sign his 4-year extension. Good for 4 years, $48 million. That's $12 million per year. He also gets $30 million of that guaranteed. We don't know, at least I have not seen, all of the details for the contract in terms of, you know, how front-loaded this is. Do they spread it out? What have you? We'll see that as the day goes on. It is also official as well. The Bills have tweeted it out. James Cook, you know, he's talked about it. Bean has talked about it. And now we go from here. The team is better with Cook on it today. I think that much is clear. But I think we also got to this point because Coleman and Kincaid didn't hit. Outside of Allen, Cook is absolutely their best offensive skill position player.
He's a piece of the engine. You don't sign this player without thinking he did make a difference with this team over the last couple of years under Joe Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Now comes the extra wrinkle.
Yeah.
Brady leaves. And they're not as apt with the willingness to run the football, for example, with whoever comes
mm-hmm.
in. Does that contract then take a different lean to it?
Especially, I think, because most of us acknowledge Brady's gone after this year. He's going to be a head coach somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they put up any numbers close to what they did last year, he's gone.
Right.
And we've also already seen an offense want to change to the next offense coordinator, and not successfully, going from Dable to Dorsey. And
painfully so.
The Dorsey pick, by at least everything I've seen, Dorsey really wanted Kincaid.
Dorsey wanted to run two tight ends.
Dorsey's gone, and now we're kind of still sort of trying to figure out what Kincaid is. I mean, I want him to perform well this year. I don't know if him and his quarterback have a good rapport, at least on the field. Allen misses him a lot, and it has hurt his production quite a bit. It also kind of got him hurt in the Colts game. So we'll see how that ends up going. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Sal Capaccio will be joining us hopefully later on in the show. Let's get connected to our fans, though, and that is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start off this morning with CJ on the line. CJ, how we doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Quick question, simple question, let's say that. Does this not unintentionally put pressure on Sean McDermott? It's not to say he's a bad coach. It's not to say that he would even be kicked off, because I do think, if you think from a business aspect, the owner, Pegula, loves Sean McDermott because every year you're adding extra games, which is extra revenue.
Right. Yeah.
I see it from that aspect. But when it comes to actually winning and looking at it from the GM aspect, you went all in on defense this year. You also have a bunch of contracts, like you said, is about to expire. You also have Josh Allen aging. You also have a AFC that's not getting worse. They're getting better. Last year, the Chiefs took a step back. Should have been our year. Could have, should have, would, right? The Ravens aren't getting worse. There's teams that are, over time, also getting better. Right now, it seems like the Bengals are in turmoil. A bunch of teams aren't looking as bad, but like teams like the Jags are getting better. The Patriots are getting better. There's a clock on our head coach, unintentionally, that's real. And maybe just a fan see it. I know the owner, I'm not saying get rid of Sean McDermott, but we have a new stadium coming. This year seems like the year based off how the schedule looks. There's too many things where it says, Sean McDermott, you have to get it done now. There's too many times in a playoff where you lose by, like the other team puts up 30, and you're a defensive-minded head coach. It falls on the head coach. It's not Josh Allen. He has the best touchdown interception ratio in NFL history. You can't blame the QB, but every talk show talks about, can Josh Allen get it done? When Josh Allen is, I guess, in a aspect, defending himself against the head coach. Like, 13 seconds wasn't Josh Allen. He did his part. I know we keep bringing up 13 seconds, but I'm looking at in totality, it really falls on Sean McDermott by a lot. It's not to say he's a bad head coach, but in the moment, and we talk about players in the moment, it's also coaches. What do you do? Or what have we seen?
Yeah. CJ, I mean, that was my point, too. It McDermott's part of that trio of guys that I think, like, this year is important. I don't think McDermott only goes if they win, like, five games this year. That's not happening. But in terms of where how the feelings are going into March and April of next year, McDermott, Babich, McDermott, this is a massive year for them. They put a lot into the defense. McDermott, you've handed out a lot of extensions. Some could be huge bargains. Others, a little bit of a worry. Cook can fall into that, okay, we'll see how this goes. And then Babich, it's your second year as defensive coordinator. The defense, I mean, without outright saying it, the team has somewhat said that was a reason why they didn't win the Super Bowl.
The defense needs to be better, and that's more or less just something that for all three of those people, being mm-hmm. McDermott and Babich, it still should ring true. Like, yeah, McDermott is the head coach, but it's still predicated off of his system.
Yeah, absolutely. 803-0550, again, the number to call. You want to jump on the show, give your thoughts on James Cook. But right now we go to the Wester Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show from Bills practice as James Cook, is going to be out there for a second straight day. Sal, he signs his deal. It gets done.
He should be out here for the next several years, mm-hmm, to be honest mm-hmm. with you, right? I mean, yesterday we saw James Cook, and Sean McDermott said some things had changed, and we didn't know if that meant contractually. I think it was more of, hey, they really came to an understanding he needed to practice, and he was going to be out here. But certainly, as we said yesterday, we wouldn't be surprised if there was something done, and lo and behold, that's what happened. According to Brandon Bean, we heard from him earlier, the deal came together and finalized at about 11 p.m. last night. I asked him, was it something that they knew was going to happen, and that's why James practiced yesterday? And he kind of said, well, it was really more of a, hey, we need you on the practice field, and we're going to get this done. More of a, hey, let's go. You show good faith, we'll show good faith. You come out and practice, you know, we'll make sure we work and get this gap bridged. And they did that, and James Cook now under contract for the next 5 years. It is a four-year extension on top of the rookie deal that he has 1 year remaining on. That's important to note. So he is under contract through the year 2029. With the Buffalo Bills, and no more drama, no more hold in, no more hard knock story on James Cook not practicing. The next one will be him on the field with the team.
And on the hard knocks thing, Sal, too, I think many of us were expecting he'd be a major focus of last night's episode. He kind of wasn't. And so it is funny that they came to an understanding last night, and ultimately it wasn't a bad episode for the Bills. Cook wasn't all around, you know, not bashing the team, but it ultimately just wasn't a main focus.
Yeah, I agree with you. Listen, as we've noted, the Bills have a lot of editorial control, if not the entire, you know, control over here of what gets out, what doesn't. They're not going to want their own organization painted in a bad light, or nor their players, regardless of what's going on. And this was never contentious between James and the organization. It was just business. And Brandon Bean talked about that and how to balance those two things. And when you have good relationships, you're honest, and you're truthful with each other, you can balance those. And sure, can it get awkward? Absolutely. But that's the job of the agent. That's the job of the general manager. And look, I mean, I think he handled it kind of weirdly a bit, but at the same time, good for James Cook and his agent. They got paid, and that's what this was all about for him. But as far as Hard Knocks is concerned, they didn't focus too much on it last night. We saw that he was not on the field with his team, and he was in meeting rooms. And that was something Brandon Bean noted, that his teammates noticed that he's still here. He's still present. He's still engaged. That was good to see, and we'll see a little bit more about him next week. In fact, what I'll do is I'll have some video a little bit later. I can't do it right now, guys. I'm at practice, and we have certain rules on when we can post things, but when practice is over, I'll post a video of James stretching, and literally he's stretching, and you see all the Hard Knocks cameras and microphones right next to him. So I'm sure that's going to be a focus.
There we go. Yeah, that'll be episode three. There you go.
Yep. I'm sure that James Cook loves that. Staying on Cook with this, Sal, it does look like this is a reward for a player that has shown over the past couple of years under Joe Brady's offense, he's part of the engine. He allows this team to have some balance to it and be a little bit of a big play artist for them. Do you think that would still be the case here, and knowing that Brady is going to be a head coaching candidate, very much a popular one next year, do you think that there might be this potential of like, a blowback considerable with Cook being a running back that is favored in this system long term? I'm fumbling through this question. You're doing great.
Yeah, that's okay. I think I understand what you're trying to say, and what I would answer it this way is, I hope this answers your question. I don't think the Bills change anything about the philosophy of how they run their offense based on James Cook signing a contract extension.
Right.
Like, the reason why they sign him is because he fits perfectly into what his role is right now. This isn't, oh, we're going to give you more money, so now you have to do something more than what we've been asking, because that's not good for the team if they don't feel like he's good at those things or need to be – like, Ty Johnson's their third down back, right? We know that.
Yes.
Are you going to put James Cook over Ty Johnson just because he signed for more money? No, because if he's not the better player for the job, you don't do that. You know, you keep him fresh. And Brandon, we talked about the explosiveness of James Cook and how keeping him fresh is imperative and important, about how everybody in the running back room has – their own role, and they fit so well, and their skill sets really do offset each other so well. So, guys, I don't see anything changing with the usage of James Cook simply because of the contract. Now, can James Cook get better at pass protection and therefore see the field more? Sure. I think the cause and effect here is not because of the contract, though.
On the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio from Bills Practice. And Sal, this completes a very busy offseason for the Bills internally, excluding Josh Allen, as he already had an extension. Five players, though, got new deals. James Cook, the last of them, but also Christian Benford, Greg Rousseau, Terrell Bernard, and Khalil Shakir, all four-year deals. I know Bean specifically mentioned, like, this is the core. Like, we've got the young guys, and we're going forward with them. It does feel like, as well, the starter gun has gone off, and this is now a window for them to try to win a Super Bowl about the next 2 or 3 years.
I have said this really going back to the other extensions, and it just really hammers the point home even more, which is take a look at how they have structured the contracts of these young guys. Let's go back, you know, a year ago when they ripped the Band-Aid off, so to speak, right? Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, you know, Tre'Davious White, and they said, we have to move on from these guys because it allowed them to do some things the following year, which is this offseason. And then what happened this offseason? Terrell Bernard, Khalil Shakir, Christian Benford, Greg Rousseau, all of them were entering the final year of their deal. The first three I mentioned, the rookie deals, Rousseau was his fifth-year option, but they were all entering the final year of the rookie deal. He signs all of them to four-year extensions, which includes the 1 year remaining on the final year of their deal. So that's 5 years under contract for all of these guys. In the meantime, Josh Allen signs an extension, redoes his contract. He goes 6 years. Every time that you think about it and you look at how it's structured, it is clearly a statement that this team feels to me, their window to win Super Bowls is the next 5 years with Josh Allen. Because then 5 years from now, he's going to be 33, 34, and you're going to have this core. This is the new core. They had a core for 7 years with six, 7 years with Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Stephon Diggs, Mitch Morse, like predominantly over that time, these players. There are still a few that are here now. Deion Dawkins still here. We know Matt Milano's still here. Tre'Davious White is back. But think about this core now. It is Spencer Brown, Dalton Kincaid even, right, as a first-round pick from a few years ago. And now these guys that I mentioned, Bernard, Shakir, Benford, Rousseau, and now James Cook, who's added to that group where they all have contract extensions ending after the 2029 season.
All right, Sal. We'll let you get back to practice. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. And, yeah, I mean, it's just flat out. It's in black and white. The Bills have set up the next few years. This is the group going forward. And now, Derek, we talked about this off air, but now I look at some of these names that just got the extensions this year. I've mentioned Rousseau. You rebuilt the defensive line. Rousseau, though, had arguably a career year. Outside of sack numbers, he was better in almost every category. If he jumps up that number and continues the progression, if Benford goes from just kind of an unheralded, unknown, really good corner to a known top 10, top 15 at his position, Terrell Bernard gets back to what it looked like he was going to be 2 years ago, I think you can then feel really comfortable about this core. I will say right now, sitting here, I am slightly nervous. The starter gun has gone off. We've got this window, and I am trying to find the players I do think are going to be, you know, to use the soccer term, world class, or the guys that I can sit here and go, it's not just Josh Allen. And I think that's my one fear, is that I look around this roster, and to a certain extent, Hard Knocks has played into it too. The folk hero-ness, the almost Greek god level of praise Allen gets, they need to find other guys, not just on the offensive side of the ball, on defense especially. They've done a really good job at building the offensive line, right? They've done a good job at that. But they need to have a few of these guys be world-class kind of players. That's what the Eagles have. That's what the Chiefs have had. That's what the 49ers have had. The Bills have not had that. I think that is maybe the biggest aspect that has held them back in these last few years.
I also think that this has to do with, it is not just if. You mentioned if for a couple of these extensions. It's not an if. It's an expectation. You have rewarded them for past performance, but you're also paying them for what they should be doing going forward.
Right.
It is not if. This has to happen. You've given four-year extensions to five different players this year. This offseason alone. You know your window. And we are back to our regularly scheduled programming, folks. The same spiel that we've had about this team now for years. And it's the same message all along.
Thank you.
I feel like that's the meme, Joe. That's the two hands shaking. Downtown Athens, downtown Buffalo.
Yes, yes.
Same.
Yeah. And downtown Buffalo, even maybe more impressive. Well, gotta say.
Get out.
Downtown Athens, just nothing.
Wow.
Really, I stand by everything that I said there about Athens. Maybe I was in the wrong part of Athens. I don't know.
Well, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. I am live from home today, but we're still on the air and everything's the same. The only difference is...
You're not in the same room as I am.
No. Now, because we're not in the same room, this is a big day for the chat. I think it's a big day for the chat on YouTube, if you're on our YouTube stream, because I just, you know, in talking to you and not being able to see you, I'll probably watch the stream a little more to see you.
Right.
So, like, I feel like I'm talking to you a little bit more. And, you know, that'll be great for the chat because I'll see more comments.
Yes.
So here we go.
Yeah.
You can join us at 803-0550. We can chat about anything, really.
Big day for the bullpen.
Huge day for the
bullpen. You guys have some pressure on you, that means, yeah. I think.
Yeah. An early comment right away. Where's your wide receiver board? You know what? That's a good question. I don't have one in here.
It's over there.
And when we get to draft season, I will have to actually put one in here. I guess that's the call to action.
Shouldn't you have some sort of train decor in the background there of some sort or maybe pictures and maybe jerseys of some of the great receivers of all times?
You might be right. I might need something like that.
Get a Lee Evans jersey back there. That's what you need.
I got a Stevie
Molds,
jersey.
Lee Evans, like the different generations of Bills receivers.
I have Stevie and I have Diggs.
Okay, that's a good start.
I don't have Evans. Those are the last two great Bills receivers. And, you know,
Evans,
maybe one
Molds,
of these guys,
and Andre. That's what you need.
Maybe one of these guys on this team, I'll snag a jersey eventually. But I've already thought my next jersey is going to be Dawkins. So, you know,
yeah.
the big man barge, right? That's what Josh was calling
barge.
The big man barge.
Yes.
That's the plan. So anyway, hey everybody, Jeremy and Joe. I'm live from home. Joe's in studio. Josh and Owen are here as well.
Mm-hmm.
You've had time to sleep on it. I mean, is the James Cook reaction the thing to still do? We heard from Brandon Bean. We heard from James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal gets done. I have it's not quite a rant / mini rant, but I'd like to, if possible, all of us acknowledge how dumb all of us are. How dumb the NFL contract process is,
mm-hmm.
How silly every single conversation about a number is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give you 10 reasons that happened in the last 24 hours, if I could.
Okay.
So James Cook's initial tweet is $15 million, right?
Yes.
Did he mean actual $15 million or agent-inflated $15 million? Because we already know there are like two sets of numbers. Then we get down to a third set of numbers. I've seen the Cook deal broken down so many times. Bill Barnwell just pointed out that when the agent said the most guaranteed money, he was including the guaranteed money he was already guaranteed in the final year of his deal.
Right, his rookie deal. Yeah.
Yes. Counting money you're already guaranteed as guaranteed money in the deal?
Yeah, that doesn't seem you're misleading. You're misleading by doing that. Yeah.
It's terrible. And on top of that, what you also get is teams talking about it. Well, sure, it's a 4-year extension, but if you include the year he's already on, I've got him at 5 years for this. Yeah, don't do that either.
No.
Everybody just it's kind of like evaluating a quarterback and saying, look at his quarterback rating in games between this date and this date. He's got as many touchdowns as Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Every contract breakdown is effectively the graphic that tries to make Tua look as good as Josh. That
yes.
is every single contract breakdown we ever get. And I'm ready to just say, like, we're all so dumb for this, like all
uh-huh.
of us.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, how much is he really even? We don't know the cap hits, right? Like, until we see the cap hits, I don't really think anybody knows whether it was a great deal or not. Is that fair?
Sure.
And
sure.
Even then, like, it's, well, those will be the cap hits for a couple of years, but everything gets so moved around that you'll never see that same number in, like, the fourth year of the deal, the third year of the deal. So it ends up. I do appreciate how hockey does it a little bit when we go through all of this.
Straight number.
It is just a straight number. It's the same every year. You know it's never going to change. And that can hurt the team, right, because they can't get out of anything other than a buyout. You have so many less levers to pull. But in terms of digesting it as a fan, it's, how much does Dahlin? 11. And how much will he make in 6 years? 11.
Right.
We just know that. We just know what the number is going to be forever and always, and we can compare it to everybody in the league very easily.
It's one thing the hockey has right. It's just easy. 6 years, $66 million, $11 million for 6 years. Done. And end of story.
Right.
There's no working them. There's no re-signing. Yeah.
It's,
and
well,
extending.
What's the guaranteed money? And then what's the total guarantees? Because it's different than the guaranteed money.
Then there's guaranteed at sign and all this.
All the different types of incentives and everything.
Yeah.
There's so much of it.
The one thing I would say regarding the Cook deal, so I almost want to not even bother to give you the numbers because they get confusing and it's like, whatever, he's on the team. Do you like the idea of spending this money on him or not? And I feel like that's kind of where you should land. Do you like the idea of spending money on him or not? And the biggest debate I got into yesterday about any of this was whether or not the Bills got a bargain. I do not believe the Bills got a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people came after me a little because I thought the general belief will be that Cook won. And when I say that, you could interpret it a couple different ways. If you thought $15 million was really the goal, which I never thought it was really the goal, but if you thought $15 million was the goal, well, then you probably think the Bills come out looking great because the latest from Barnwell is that it's actually kind of close to $10 million a year. Okay, look at you, Brandon Bean. That's a master class.
Yeah.
But if you didn't want a running back sign and you didn't want a running back to get money, then you do not think that 10 is even really a good idea. I know, like, you and I talked about this, and
right.
I've lived there in the past. Don't sign any running backs. Will the Bills ever sign a running back? You know, they didn't give him Saquon money, which I never thought they would, but they gave him a healthy contract, and he is now a well-paid running back in the NFL, which I don't have a problem with. But But at the same time, I don't think it's a bargain, and I don't think it's really ever likely to be a bargain. I feel like sometimes, Joe, people are very eager to call deals bargains, especially in hockey. It happens a lot in hockey.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's a bargain. I think he's now a guy that gets paid, and that's fine. Like Shakir, I don't think Shakir is this massive bargain. I think Shakir's a guy that gets paid well, fine, good. Not an overpay, just like a guy that's getting paid well.
Mm.
And wouldn't we all acknowledge that a good chunk of contracts in the NFL are just like, yeah, this guy gets paid now versus, you know, rookie deal?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I did the exercise last week about how far off Benford is from the top corner in the league, how far off Rousseau is from the top edge rusher, Shakir from the top receiver, and don't they all end up falling and ranking about where they're considered in the league? Like, it's all about, hey, Greg Rousseau is like, you know, I don't know the rank of Tom Ahead, but he's like the 13th highest paid defensive end in football. Where would you rank Greg Rousseau among defensive ends in football? Well, like 15th. 14th, maybe around there. Maybe that's even giving him too much credit.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, he's properly paid then. And I think Cook probably will fall into that same exact category. He is going to be, on a per-year basis, behind Barkley, behind McCaffrey, behind Derrick Henry, but he's going to be above Kyren Williams and James Conner and these guys like that. And to me, that's probably about right.
About where he should be.
I think all these guys this offseason ended up being about where they should be. I don't think the Bills maybe got a bargain on any of them, and I don't know that any of the players really got a steal themselves, and maybe you could argue that with Cook if you want to get into the guaranteed number, but in terms of all of them, I feel like they kind of landed where they should have been.
Yeah. Yeah, like how you said that, like, a lot of them come in. The thing the Bills do is, if you compare them against some of the teams that are very bad at this, like the Cowboys,
right?
Like, the Bills save money by doing that. One thing about Cook and market rate, I saw a number of people pointing out, like, hey, Spotrac had his market value, and we love Mike Giannetti and Spotrac, market value at about 10.3 or something. He comes in about 10, ultimately, after you break down all the numbers.
Yeah.
Was he on the market? Like, is market value, it's not a question I've ever thought for Spotrac and Mike Giannetti,
right?
Is market value your open market value? Because one of the things about Cook here is he was not. And a lot of this conversation had been about people saying he doesn't have leverage. He doesn't have leverage. And he had enough to get his market value while not on the market, if that's in fact what that means. So, I don't know. It's UFA versus signed by your own team is always a little bit different. I keep saying I am good with the contract, and I did want them to pay this player about this much money.
Yeah.
So I'm not here telling you they got taken. Where I land ultimately, and if you want to give us a call at 803-0550, where I land is he got the job done. He won. He got a second contract. He got paid well, and the Bills wanted to pay him. So, like, I think whatever. I'm not saying the Bills lost. It's not one versus the other, but I do think that James Cook comes away with a W here because he got paid more than at least some thought he would get.
Well, in the idea of a bargain, I think implies you got him for less than he would have got on the open market. You got him for less than what he would have signed for somewhere else. The implication that, all right, he got $12 million per year with you and $30 million guaranteed, and if he had waited a year and went through the bidding process, he would have got $15 million a year, and he would have got $40 million guaranteed. And the more that we dug into him and some of his limitations, I wonder if there was a team out there that would have valued him not even more, the same that the Bills valued him. Like, was this as good as he was going to do anywhere? Because the same holes in his game were going to be persistent elsewhere. How many teams were going to want to pay a running back that doesn't play half the snaps?
Good question.
Because this is a team where you can get away with that. Your quarterback, your offensive line, you have a third down running back that can do a lot of that stuff. Not everybody's got that. Maybe, like, some teams have bad offensive lines. Some teams have quarterbacks where the running back has to protect because the guy isn't as mobile. I'm thinking of, like, Miami for that, or you know, teams that just can't even risk it. We talked about this with Kyron Williams. So all it takes is one other team, but I don't think there would have been this long, long list. Like, not everybody in the league would have looked at James Cook, the player, and said, that's the perfect fit for our offense.
Right.
You got to have, I think, the right type of offense to value him that highly. So I don't know that it's a bargain, because I think it's very realistic to think this was the most he was going to get anywhere.
That tends to be what I think too. And to further the point about how this is all kind of silly, us trying to figure out and, you know, assign bargain or overpay to it, is that we don't have the Kyron Williams details yet.
Yeah, there's no cap hits or anything. We just know 3 for 33, right?
3 for 33. So while James Cook's 4 for 48 has been kind of, hold on, let's carve that down. It's about 3 for 30. Oh, it's even under Kyron Williams. Well, Kyron Williams hasn't had his deal carved up yet, where we see
it's going to be 2 for 22, 23.
Right.
Really?
It might be the kind of thing where by the time we see his deal carved up and what that deal ultimately is, now we're even, oh, the entire market isn't as bad as previously thought. And that's something that happens at every single position. Every position, every one of these, the deal ends up looking inflated. And again, throughout this process, I wanted them to sign him. I'm glad this deal is done. Mm-hmm. I am excited to watch this exciting player who is explosive. I hope it goes well for 4 years. I know there are going to be some good cases to make about, you know, a running back and what you could get there. I hear all that, but I'm happy. I'm glad that this deal got done. And frankly, I think Cook is a really fun player to watch. He's a bit unique in his style of running, and I'm glad the Bills have him. Like, won't they be motivated to keep this offense the way that it's going, where he gets the ball in space, makes big plays? Like, there are things about that I really like. So I'm glad the deal's done, and I feel like I'm having the conversation about Allen being overrated, where I would say to people, I don't think he is, but if you say it, I think you're allowed to say it. That's all. If you think he's the second best or the first best, and the same with Mahomes, and, you know, so much, Joe, our conversations are, everybody has to line up behind, is it a bargain or not? Is it this or that? And I'm good with the deal. I don't think it's a bargain, and I think that's fine. You can't just get bargains on all 53 contracts.
Right. I do think what's interesting is how long this deal goes. And I hadn't thought about this yesterday. I think I said that this takes him through age 29. It actually takes him to 30, because I had forgotten that the deal doesn't start right away. Right? Like, you get the final year of the rookie deal, and then you get 4 more years after that for Cook. So you take him through 2029 when he's a 30-year-old running back. You have levers to pull after the third year. Not even the third year of the contract, 3 years from now. Like, if it wasn't going well, or there's an injury, or, hey, if Joe Brady is gone by then to a head coaching job, which is, I think, by 2028, that's probably likely.
Very likely, very likely.
If he's gone, I mean, a new coordinator might come in and love James Cook as a player and have the same type of role carved out for him, or they might run a different type of scheme, or maybe the league has changed and there's a reason why he's not as valued. I don't know what's going to happen in 3 years. If something like that happens, though, you can get out of it. You can carve up the money easily. They really left themselves the ability to end this in 2028, which is 3 years from now, if they feel like they need to. And really, we say this with hockey a lot, too. It's like sometimes you got to pay for – this is not to say that I still would have done this because I think there are other consequences. I just would have liked to use that money elsewhere. But why I don't think it's like devastating by any means is – sometimes you do gotta pay at the front end of a deal, and you might have to take on a consequence at the end when you're trying to win. Like, yeah. I'll pay a price in 28 and 29 to make my team better in 25 and 26. Like, to try to win the Super Bowl right now. That part of it, I'm not really worried about. I don't think the Bills will ever take a bad cap hit for James Cook. Like, that's just kind of how it ends up being. It's going to be $3 million this year, $5 million next year, $13 million the year after that. Like, and $13 million then is going to look like 8 or 9 by percentage of cap, probably. Yep. So, and then after that, again, if you want to move on, they'll do the thing they did with Trey White, or they'll do the thing they did with Diggs, but to a much smaller degree of, I'll just take a number. I'll take a number. I'll take $5 million this year and $6 million next year on a cap. It's going to be $600 million by that point.
It's another part of, like, the dead cap conversation. I end up thinking, whenever you're talking about, oh, do they have room, dead cap, why will there be dead cap? It's because they've already paid him money. You just mentioned, like, his three cap hits are what, 3, 5, and 7?
3, 5, and 13. 27, okay, it's 13.
Gotcha, 3, 5, and 13. Where's the dead cap come from? It comes from a deal that averages 10, you paid him 3 this year, and then 5 next year. Like, you owe the money that's on the AAV.
Right.
So, dead cap, I feel like, and I'm one that does this too, I feel like all of our conversations about money and cap are just, we almost should never treat it like it's real, because even dead cap is seen as, oh, wow, what a mistake. Like, you probably plan for it. These teams definitely plan, we'll carry dead cap in like 3 years. And what does that mean? That means that we spent that money in the year before. We were, by actual dollars, $78 million over the cap. We just moved into the future years.
Yeah. You want to know, in 3 years, if they said, for whatever reason, you decide, whatever the reason is, okay, we want to move on here. Like, we love Jimbo, but it's time to move on. If in 3 years they want to move on from James Cook, they will take a dead cap hit in 2028 of $3 million and in 2029 of $4 million, and then it's over.
Right. Like, it's just your punter makes that much in 2029.
Right.
It's just – right. This deep, deep debate about this. This was never a contract. He's making a quarter of what, like, a guy like Myles Garrett makes, which those are big chunk contracts. It's super important positions.
Right.
You know, every once in a while, you and I would talk about this, and I'd come back to, man, we're arguing an awful lot about a guy that's going to make not a lot on this roster.
That's right. I do still, though, like, even though it's a quarter of a Myles Garrett-level contract, again, my problem, my nitpicky problem with this offseason is I wonder if they will have the room or even the desire to go get a $40 million a year player if that player is made available, because they've signed so many of these types of deals, and Cook is just another one that will make it a little bit harder. So on its own, no, it does not preclude you from trading for Micah Parsons in a year if the Cowboys decide, all right, this is over, we got to trade him. But by signing Palmer and by signing Cook and by having Dawson Knox on his number and then McGovern at some point, like, all of these mid-level contracts, it's what the Bills have decided to do. Like, we think we can win this way. We don't need superstars around Allen. We just need a lot of good players. But I've been wanting to see them get a player of that caliber, and I do think every deal that they sign makes that harder.
803-0550. A logical follow-up to that would be, and if you want to have this conversation, we could, what's the most likely road they take to having that player on their roster? The 40, this guy needs to be paid $40 million. What's the most likely road they take? Mm-hmm. Is it something like TJ Sanders is Chris Jones? You know, so, what is it? Because we could sit here and talk about how could they pay a guy like Garrett? Could they have room for a guy like a Max Crosby? Those guys don't get traded.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we get to should they go for this guy, it's like, well, do you want to pay $40 million and two firsts?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the most likely road to getting a player that is that good? It's probably a draft pick.
It is usually, but is there anybody? Sure, like it could, TJ Sanders, that could happen. But is there anybody on the roster right now that you would project other than Josh Allen ever makes $40 million?
Well, it depends how long some of these guys play. I mean,
anybody, let me just put it this way, anybody on the roster right now becoming a $40 million player would be a shock. Not to say TJ Sanders can't do it, but come on, if he became Aaron Donald, it would be shocking.
Right. You'd have to project Maxwell Hairston to be a top three corner in the NFL, and by the time his rookie deal is up, could corners be at 40? I mean, maybe.
Right. Not to say it's impossible. It's just
not likely
at all that that will be the case. Like, if there was a – if Kincaid had – well, the tight ends wouldn't get that anyway. If Coleman had 1,300 yards in his rookie season, if he was Brian Thomas Jr., if the Bills had Brian Thomas Jr. on their roster right now, what would they say? We're like, you're going to be paying that guy $40 million in a year. In 1 year, you're going to be paying that guy $40 million a year. But I don't see a young player on their team right now that has done anything on the field like that that would tell me, oh, yeah, that guy's – he's working towards that.
803-0550. If you want to share a thought on this, the offseason comes to an end. A lot of things to talk about. I have a very fun James Cook game to play.
Okay.
It's a game we haven't played in quite some time that I think everyone's going to have a wonderful time with. So that's my plan.
We'll get more Owen eliminations today,
Owen picking his Premier League team. I'm wearing my oldest Arsenal jersey, yellow with the Arsenal crest on it.
How old is that?
2012, maybe. 2011, 2012.
2012.
I got it at the stadium. This was the first one I bought. I was touring the stadium, and I bought this jersey at the stadium.
Okay.
The good news is it still fits 13 years later. So,
nice.
I don't know what I expected. Not like I'm going to grow like, you know, a foot taller. Anyway.
You know, we had an understanding that we need to practice if we're going to be able to get back to the table. And so I think there was good faith on both parts, you know, from him and his agent to our side. And once we got him back on the practice field, we really worked hard yesterday. Kevin Meagank and, you know, on our side, and Zach Hiller, James's agent, on his side. And I think it was roughly 11 o'clock or so last night where we were able to say both sides are good with this and we'll get it signed in the morning.
Brandon Bean today. That's interesting, right? Is that what's called an understanding, or is that a mandate?
You get on the field, and then we'll negotiate?
Yeah. We had an understanding that you have to be on the field for us to negotiate. Who? I feel like that's Bean telling Cook, this is how it is. And, you know, Cook did come back. McDermott yesterday talked about a change in the situation before practice, and, you know, it sounds like maybe he knew what was coming. Sean will be on with us in half an hour. Cook is signed. All right, what's next? Right? What would President Bartlett say, Bulldog? You get something done, but you can't sit still. There's no time for that. There's no time to rest on your laurels. So what's next?
Alex Tuck's extension. Sorry, no, you're thinking about the football team. Connor McGovern, I think.
Connor McGovern.
I saw Sneaky Joe tweeted this morning, how hilarious would it be if Connor McGovern started a hold-in today?
Yes.
He's going into the last year of his contract.
Why wouldn't he?
Right.
Why shouldn't anybody do it? Look how easy it is.
So I think that'll be interesting to watch. You know, when the Bills drafted, we had a call earlier this week talking about how much they were excited about Cedric Van Pran Granger when they drafted him, and I was too, and the contracts that were in place were a part of that. I've got McGovern for another couple of years. They're drafting maybe his eventual replacement from a big school in a big league, SEC, Georgia. I got my center in waiting, and this year has been already a lost summer for him. So I'll be curious to see how they like their depth on the O-line. Torrence will be due for a contract extension after year three. He's a second-round pick. So like Cook and all these other guys that got re-signed this summer, the time to get that going with him will be after this coming season, and I think that'll be a big number.
Do I have to care about it? He's a guard. Do I have to be like all just sort of every day? Are we going to do that dance?
I care more about the guards than I do the running backs at this point, honestly.
That's not crazy.
So, but that I think that's what's next. McGovern is going into a walk year. Torrence is due for an extension. I haven't looked at the whole list of who else is up. There's probably our Milano's contract is up after the season is over, but there's been no talk about doing anything with that. Although I guess maybe as he continues to look like his old self in camp, maybe they could figure out something with that too. I don't know.
But Trey White, let's extend him. While we're here, you tell that McGovern, score 16 touchdowns, then we'll have a conversation.
Okay.
Get a few fumble rooskies involved.
Yeah.
I'd settle for one.
He did have something to do with some of them, I would assume.
Sure. No, Cook.
Probably should, all of them.
Cook should give all those linemen a healthy, gift. Here's Mike with us. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you? Happy no holdout from James Cook Day again. Now, this is great. My argument with what you guys are saying on the other side is now it's past us. This is not my $48 million or $30 million guarantee. I mean, from a fan's perspective, I'm just happy that, you know, we don't have to talk about this anymore and the team could just move past it. I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk that the needle doesn't move with James Cook out the lineup. I mean, that's debatable. I mean, it's 18 touchdowns you take away from us. I'm sure 18 touchdowns does move the needle some. It has to. I'm just happy that it's past us. I really don't care what the guy signed for. I really don't.
Well, I respect that, and I respect the notion of it being past them, and there's no drama, and that is not nothing. I can even hear myself saying that, and I sound like I'm almost poking holes in it, and I don't really mean to be. Like, it's a respectable thing to have everything, you know, smooth sailing, all systems go. That can matter for a team that's in a window that the Bills are in. Like, the urgency has been extremely high for them to win a championship the last few years here, and they did not need anything that could potentially be looked at as a problem within all of that. But what I think you can worry about, and, you know, you can decide whether you want to worry about it now or not, is what we were just talking about. How much money is there to sign McGovern and Torrence next offseason? If they find that they need a number one receiver after everything eats maybe doesn't work as well as it did last year, hypothetically, I'm not rooting for that, I'm just saying, the amount of flexibility you have and the amount of money you have is not actually endless. Like, there are things that you can't do sometimes. So let's just hope that that doesn't become any problem. The cap does always go up, and hopefully they can just keep doing this and not have anything real sticky become a problem. But it's a big number for a position that I think is pretty replaceable.
Yeah, and those are all good points. I do think that it maybe could hinder us, but I still got to let the offseason play out. I mean, there's moves that Buffalo can make before the start of the season to open up cap. They might have already done that with James Cook, his cap number this year. So there's still chips to fall. And I, like, you know, Curtis Samuel could get traded. I mean, there's still avenues they can go to protect themselves on, future contracts down the road. And being in my experience, he's been pretty good at managing that. So I just kind of, before I jump all over him on a big number, I just got to see things play out a little bit more, you know?
Sure. Thanks, Mike. I mean, what percentage of fans, is it 100 or almost, today is hearing that this, with any amount of sophisticated knowledge about the salary cap or whatever, just like, what, you could know nothing or you could know everything. You're a Bills fan. What do you care about? Them winning. And it's still the case that you can't be as close to that. You can't be much closer to that than they are. So you've got a guy here who's a semi-star, and you might have been worried that he wasn't going to play or, you know, be a distraction or any of those things. And now that goes away. The clouds have parted. The sky's clear. That's all gone. And you feel good. And if I told you that they won a championship in the next year or two under this deal with James Cook. Even scores in the Super Bowl if you need it. And then they're terrible for a decade. You'll take it. Like you,
yeah, of course.
You didn't care about the future when it was Von Miller. You didn't care about the future when it was five other guys. And you don't care about it today. And that's fine. Somebody's allowed to. I don't think it's wrong to care about that stuff. I just think giving the GM the benefit of the doubt to the, you know, to most of the extent on this, like, he doesn't, what are the consequences? When are there ever consequences to these contracts? Knox was egregious. Oh, well, let's just enjoy that he's on the team. We need him on the field. Von Miller. Oh, well, you know, someday it'll be bad. When is that day that anything is actually bad? Bean will tell you about, like, he goes into the offseason last couple of years, he'll tell you about what he can't do because of other things that have been done already. Like, you can't just every year, what does he say? Right. You can't every year just go shop in any aisle and get whatever you want because, you know, decisions have been made. But they're still in the proverbial window. And all that concern, to whatever extent there is any, about the future, just, you know, like, save it, right? Just save it.
Yeah, there's nothing about this deal that, to me, there's no negative for 2025. And so, right? I mean, he's on the team. Your team is already set. You're not going shopping for, you don't have to pay Connor McGovern right now. You don't have to pay Osiris Torrance right now. And you're not going shopping for an upgrade at wide receiver right now. You're about to play the 2025 season, and now James Cook is in line and everything's set. And so, you know, down the road, maybe that becomes, like I just laid out to the caller, like just hypotheticals becomes an issue. But for right now, you know, it's relatively harmless. The numbers are larger than I anticipated by quite a bit. I didn't say quite a bit. They're just larger than I thought it'd be under the Kyren Williams deal. So that's not quite a bit. It's larger. But there's that said, what does it do to the Bills in 2025? Negatively, nothing. Really, unless I'm missing something. You know, again, moving forward, there could be a problem retaining someone else or going shopping for something else. But for 2025, it's all systems go.
Well, that's exactly what I just said. I mean, I think that that's where everybody's head is. You know, it's about this year. And if the GM is likewise, you'd want that. You know, you'd want that to be true. There should be, like there is in real life, there should be a counterbalance, you know? There should be why buying that jet ski maybe isn't the best idea for this family. But, you know, things change and your investments go up. You're the Bills. It all just keeps coming in and in the green, in the black. I think, you know, not to make it sound like it's too easy, you just keep spending. So, yeah, I think, you know, like the caller, like you saying, like I'm saying, it doesn't feel really on the mark to frame this in terms of the future, because the point is the present. I mean, this is right. A running back anyway. This is a guy who's been in the league 3 years that, you know, the shelf life is pretty short, right? That would be the term.
Yeah.
So,
although there's not a lot of miles.
There's also not a lot of size in the guy.
Right.
But yeah, I still want to know, like, what is the breakdown here? SpotTrack's going to show up. They're going to knock on the door here eventually
and show us where the outs are and like what is it, someone eventually usually gets around with all these, whether it's the Bills or not. Someone usually gets around to, ostensibly, this is actually a blank year contract worth blank money.
Right.
Don't worry about the 4 for $48. Really, this is what it is. And so, you know, we'll get that. And that may, I don't know, it'll make us feel better. I don't know. I don't even know if the fan base, the person you're describing that I just sort of re-described, isn't going to care about that either, really. It's just, he's on the team. That's it.
That's it. Go Bills. That's it.
Hey, let's go.
Yeah,
back. Let's go.
To Cook. Nice cut. Cook taking off.
And there he goes. They're not going to get him. James Cook.
Do a flip. That's kind of his little thing, I guess. I want to see him do a flip every week.
Flips into the end zone for the touchdown. His third touchdown of the game. Oh, my.
We're excited with where he's at, and he's still a young talent.
Oh, he reaches across. Touchdown, Buffalo.
What an amazing effort by Cook. Unbelievable.
Cook down the sideline at the 20 and the 10 and all the way.
The Cook is in the kitchen.
Go Bills.
Go Bills indeed. Let's freaking go. Let's go. James Cook under contract after the two sides reached an agreement on terms late last night. That's when the movement happened, and we woke up this morning to learn that James Cook will be in the kitchen through the 2029 season with the Buffalo Bills. So essentially, it's the last year of his rookie deal with 4 years tacked on top of that. So he will play out this year, and I'm sure the contract numbers have all been adjusted, but he still will play on the last year of his rookie deal this year and then 4 years after that in a Bills uniform. Your reaction, Steve?
I knew it. All along, never a doubt. Knew it was going to happen, no question. He's in the right spot. They use him the right way. He's a home run. He's a problem for defenses. He's not breaking the bank. He's getting a deserved contract. Let's just watch him play. And I like the fact that they tacked it on 4 years after this year. That staggers it with all the other guys that have signed the extensions this year. Rousseau signed an extension this year. Bernard signed an extension. Shakir signed an extension. Benford signed an extension. And now you got James Cook, and his starts next year. It staggers it out nicely. He gets a ton of money guaranteed, which is really important for guys, and I'm glad he got that and it took care of his, you know, good chunk of his future. That's just, yeah. You and I privately suspected it was gonna get done.
Yep.
And you know, but we were, even you and I were starting to go like, okay, well, you know, let's go.
Once we saw him on the practice field yesterday, to me, you don't skip a week of practice and then suddenly come back and start practicing again against unless something had changed. And clearly they had made enough progress in contract negotiations where Cook's camp said, just get back on the practice field, get ready for this week. You know, because this is presumably going to be the last big dress rehearsal before the regular season for the starters. He's obviously one of them. So this week's kind of important to be on the field and be ready and all of that, whether it's joint practice or the game Sunday night. So once we saw that, I think at least lent credence to the possibility that there had been movement on contract negotiations in less than 24 hours. Here we are. GM Brandon Bean, as we mentioned, said the deal came together last night, and so the Bills have one of the most dynamic pieces of their offense in place for the foreseeable future. Cook had four touchdown runs of 40 yards or more, the only players with more 40-plus yard runs in the league last season than Cook, Saquon Barkley, and Derrick Henry, who had 7 and 5, respectively. That's the list. So the Bills had four 40-plus yard runs last season, all by James Cook, and all went for touchdowns. 49 yards against the Dolphins, 65 yards against the 49ers, 41 yards against the Lions, and 46 yards in the first game against the Patriots. The most 40-yard runs the Bills have had in any one season prior to that in the McDermott era? Two.
Yeah.
They had two in 2022, which was Cook's rookie season, two in 2021. Every other season, there was just one run of 40 yards or more in the McDermott era. I'm just going to say it. Home run ability has value.
Yeah, you go back and look at the runs he made, and there's, you know, the couple, there was a stretch of games last year, if you remember, it was Kansas City, Detroit, San Francisco, and another team. Maybe it was, I don't know who it was. There was four teams right in the middle of last year's schedule. I'll look at it real quick. And it was a huge stretch for the Bills to get through. It was the Kansas City, San Francisco, the Rams, and Detroit. You go to the Niners game and the Detroit game and the Rams game. James had a home run. I think he had one of the Rams game, but he didn't. This Niners and the Detroit Lions game, he snapped off huge runs all the way to the house. And in those games, you know, it was different. It was the difference. I love where he's at. They use him exactly like they should use him. He's built for the offense. They built the offense around him and Josh and the rest of them. And with this everybody eats mentality with the wide receivers, you got to have guys in the backfield that can make a difference, and James is one of them. So congratulations to James. Congratulations to the Bills for getting it. And I think when you have a year, Brownie, like the Bills had last year offensively, you got to try and keep it together. And you, of course, you're trying to get better, but you're not going to get better losing James Cook.
Correct. And you ran down the list. How about a nice golf clap for Brandon Bean in the front office with Jim Overdorf and Kevin Meyank for the work that they have done to keep the young core of this roster together for the next handful of years. Benford, Bernard, Rousseau, Cook, Shakir, and Allen. Right. All signing multi-year extensions this offseason. Fantastic work by the Bills front office to lock key players at key positions up for the foreseeable future. And look, you're paying – what the hell. We'll toot our own horn here. When we talked about this back in the spring and the proper value for James Cook, we said between $10 and $12 million a year. And that's where we come down. $48 million over 4 years, $30 million of which is guaranteed, according to reports, which is the third most guaranteed money ever in a contract for a running back. So that's where I think the deal got – consummated. I think they were pretty close on average annual value in the past week or so. I think it's the guaranteed money that got it over the finish line.
Yeah. I know we're sitting here now. Deal's been signed. It's all done. And everybody's been, you and I have been blowing these numbers around for, 4 months. And it all seems so easy now that it's done, right?
Well, it wasn't easy, as we know.
It wasn't easy.
I am going to also say this. We know that James has campaigned to see more time on the field on third down. I think we all love Ty Johnson and what he is on third down. And I'm just going to say this, because I said it last year after the loss in the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs, where it's 2 minutes left in the game and James Cook is not on the field because he's not the third down back.
Mm-hmm.
Put James Cook on the field on third downs, just split him out as a wideout. He is a mismatch in the passing game. You want to put Ty Johnson in the backfield? Do it. But put James Cook on the field as well. Whether you split back him, whether you split him out wide, whatever it is, James Cook absolutely, positively has to be on the field on third downs this year. Line him up as a receiver if you have to. I don't care. But you're paying him $12 million. Get your full value.
Okay. I'm not that far down that road yet.
I am. Let's do it.
They scored 30 points a year last year.
I know.
Exactly the way they were.
I know.
And they got, and I know too, everybody's up, rolling their eyes or throwing up in arms over the fact they got put off the field in Kansas City by two bad consecutive spots. James Cook didn't have anything to do with that.
No, but he should be on the
and
field
if he
at
does
the end
have
of the game.
Listen, I'm okay. Let him have the role he earns just like they always have. If he expands his role, nobody's going to complain at all. I would be shocked if it diminishes, that's for sure. But, yeah, they've got it going on this offense. He's an important part of it. We're watching this run right here in the San Francisco. This run right here, to me, is worth $12 million a year. He snapped off a 65-yard run in the snow against San Francisco in a game you got to have.
And it was the fourth fastest play from scrimmage in the entire league last year.
And then you go back and you look at the Detroit game. It's a 44-42 win, and he's snapping off a run. Remember, that's the one where they tried to pull him down by the hair, and he pulled out of it.
48-42,
It's just one play after another that defines almost an entire game when he does it. So, couldn't be happier for him. the Bills once again do one more thing, in my opinion, the Bills do one more thing correct in the offseason. You know, they do a lot of stuff right, and we'll see if it gets them to that point where they can finally win their last game instead of going home.
And we will hear from James Cook in a little bit, just about 10 minutes time here, as he will be speaking with the media post-practice, so we will bring those comments to you. On the field, the injury front continues to see new additions. Deion Dawkins, who left practice early yesterday, was not participating today. We do not have a designation as to what that injury is. Tyrell Shavers, Elijah Moore, and Cam Lewis also not participating. So the wide receiver position is again hit by player absences. Back participating was Shaq Thompson, who missed about a week with a hamstring injury, so he's back in the linebacking core, participated on a limited basis. And Alec Anderson, who had a knee scope a couple of weeks ago, back on the practice field in a limited capacity as well, so good to see him working his way back. Itinerary-wise, the team has a travel day tomorrow as they head to Chicago for a joint practice that is scheduled for late Friday morning. And then the preseason game, obviously, is Sunday night, 8 p.m.
You may not know this yet. Are you going to go watch practice? Are you going to be able to?
Yeah.
You're like got credentials or whatever the Bears
require. They said I was approved for credentials, so hopefully that is the case.
All right. Cool. Good. You know, I'll expect
We will chime in, hope Manny and myself, on Friday and give you our thoughts from the practice field on, you know, Friday's session and how it went.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Let's go around the NFL, presented by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills. And bad news out of Dolphins camp, as their second-year pass rusher, Chop Robinson, left the field on a cart at a joint practice today with the Lions. No word on the severity of the injury as of yet, so we'll have to wait and see. Robinson had a great second half of the season last year as a rookie with 8 sacks in his first season in the NFL. There was also this news concerning the joint practice. And granted, this is one reporter's assessment of the joint practice between the Dolphins and the Lions. Okay, are you ready? This comes from Nick Baumgartner. Okay, this was his assessment of the Dolphins-Lions joint practice today. Lions just out everything the Dolphins for 2 hours out here. As lopsided a joint NFL practice as I've ever seen.
It's not a good place to be.
Steve, what's that team on the top three list to implode on my whiteboard?
The Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. It may have started already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there it is. Make of it what you will. Still no movement on a new contract for Washington Commanders holder Terry McLaurin. ESPN is reporting that one league source said he could see the Commanders eventually agreeing to pay McLaurin $28 million per year, but would that be enough? According to various reports, DK Metcalf's contract with the Steelers is what's serving as the target for McLaurin on an extension, which is, in case anybody doesn't know, $33 million a season, or $60 million guaranteed. One or the other seems to be a necessity for McLaurin on a contract extension. McLaurin and Metcalf were in the same draft class, and they have comparable NFL statistics. Washington GM Adam Peters said last month, quote, "Whatever happens along the way, just understand he's a great player, and we want to keep him here." I think his age is the biggest sticking point. He's 30 years old. You want to pay a 30-year-old $33 million a year? No, right?
No, yeah. Absolutely not. I get it.
We'll see where the middle ground is there.
Yeah, you're not there. No. And no.
Okay.
There's.
I mean, the Steelers played. The Steelers paid DK with James Metcalf.
Cook. I'm right where I was with James Cook 4 months ago. You can replace that guy. Go get Amari Cooper on the way. He's out there.
Here's the thing need to remember, Steve. Terry McLaurin is literally the heart and soul of that team. Ask anybody down there that cover. He is the heart and soul of the football team, even more than Jaden Daniels, because he's been there through the dark days, the Snyder ownership, and he's done nothing but produce, even with garbage quarterbacks.
I get it. Good for you. Thanks for stopping by.
Okay.
Appreciate you.
The optics are going to be very interesting here, and what they decide to do with him is going to send a message either way to the rest of that locker room.
Yeah. Is he under contract?
I believe he is. Well, he's a hold in.
Their heart and soul is doesn't want to play. So
Cam Hayward isn't the only Pittsburgh Steeler seeking a new contract. Kicker Chris Boswell wants one as well. The Steelers kicker is reportedly seeking a new contract after an all-pro season. He signed a four-year, $20 million deal back in 2022, tied him with Justin Tucker as the league's highest-paid kickers at the time. The market has since been reset. However, it would be nearly unprecedented for the Steelers to renegotiate Boswell's contract with 2 years still left right on the deal. Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker is the highest-paid kicker in the league, average annual value at $6.4 a year. Boswell's current contract ranks him eighth in the league at $5 million per season.
That's good.
The Steelers are not budget on that.
That's fine. I'll say this. This just came across. I don't know if you saw this, Brownie. The Chicago Bears head coach Ben Johnson has made it public that now everybody, and that means Caleb Williams as well, everybody's playing against the Bills this
weekend. Starters.
The starters.
Yeah.
In the second preseason game. So the Bills are going to get the full dose of the Chicago Bears.
Well, all right.
On Sunday.
I love it.
In Chicago.
Last year, the Bills played in the game in which Caleb Williams saw his first NFL snaps. Because the preseason opener was against the Bears last year. It didn't end right well for the Bills. Not that the ending score matters. Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders injured an oblique muscle in practice today. He's going to be evaluated. That may take him out of the next preseason game. It's just the latest in a string of quarterback injuries that they've had all through camp. Jets cornerback Sauce Gardner held out of practice today due to calf soreness. Head coach Aaron Glenn said the team is still evaluating the injury. And then finally, Steve, Sportico released its NFL team valuation rankings, and at the top of the list were the Dallas Cowboys at $12.8 billion.
That's a big number.
It's a 24% increase over last year.
So it was like 10
That's
billion.
Year over year growth, man.
10 billion last
Hello.
Year.
Hello.
That's a big number.
Second were the Rams with 34% growth from last year. They're valued at $10.43 billion. Third were the Giants at $10.25 billion, also with 34% growth year over year. Bills ranked 26th at $5.87 billion, enjoyed 16% growth year over year. The teams below the Bills on the list: Carolina, Indianapolis, Arizona, New Orleans, Jacksonville, and Cincinnati. The Bills were also ranked 26th last year. The year before that, 2023, they were 29th.
I'll say this,
so
Indianapolis.
Just like the Jeffersons, they're moving on up.
It's interesting what affects this. I would imagine Indianapolis was affected by the death of Jim Irsay.
Possibly.
I bet that does have something to do.
Possibly. I'm not going to pretend to know if it does or doesn't.
Yeah, I don't have. Right. So I don't know how that works. But yeah. And if you remember, too, the Bills at 26 in 2025 now, I think Tabagula's purchased him for 1.4.
And I would assume.
Billion.
I would assume the Bills might make a move up the list next year after you get a full. Well, maybe the year after that. I'm thinking of a full year of revenue with the new stadium. I'm thinking it would move up in 27.
Well,
I got to get through the 26 year of accumulating that revenue in the new stadium. So 27, I think they could move up.
Yes. Or it might be that because the value of the new stadium would be.
So maybe it is 26.
Yeah, and maybe it is 26 when the value of the new stadium is tacked on. It would jump a little bit. But yeah, that's why you got, you know, Vince and Josie and those guys jumping on and saying, you know what, that's pretty good growth.
I'll take that in my portfolio.
It's not going anywhere.
Nope. Yeah, so there it is. We told you that you were going to hear from the newly signed James Cook. He addressed the media after practice today, and we bring you his comments now from the post-practice podium on his new contract extension.
Congratulations. How's it
going? Good, actually. Good to be back out there to play with my team and, you know, just get another opportunity to do what I love to do.
How difficult was this process for you, or was it not at all?
I wouldn't say difficult. I handled it the right way, I felt like, and all in all, we got stuff done.
What gave you confidence that, you know, sitting out practice and not playing the game would help get this over the finish line?
Not more so it would help. Just trying to protect myself, you know, just trying to stay healthy and just get everything done before I can go out there and play with a clear mindset and just be locked in.
What excites you most about being in this city, this organization, long-term?
Like I've been saying, this place that drafted me. Made the fans good, the community good, and just the team we got, man. We play as one, we brothers, and we bond like that.
As you were going through this process, what did it mean to you to have so many of your teammates kind of support you?
It just shows how much they got my back, and you know how willing they willing to go with me in depth, you know, and you know, holding out.
From your perspective, why did you decide to start holding in when you did?
Like I said, to protect myself and, you know, just get things done so I won't have just to be thinking about this and thinking about that and just play with a clear mind.
Who's most excited out there for you?
My family. Everybody.
Seems like it. You're a pretty popular guy today.
Yeah. Been over the last couple months, you know.
James, when you're talking about protecting yourself, is there something that had happened maybe in the previous practice? Was it a down with danger? Something that led you to take that? That's type of race.
No. I mean, it felt like I was going a little hard, though, but I was just kind of calming it down and, you know, like I said, protecting myself and just getting things done the right way and you know, talking over things and getting my mind clear.
Back at minicamp, I asked you about the competitive side of things. The contract standpoint, the competitive, natural compatibility you have, you want to really compete off the field for what you think you're owed. How do you think the competition
I mean, we paid now, so let's go play football. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a win and lose situation. I mean, it's just like I said, business, and it happened. So,
yeah,
you would too.
You were on the field for the first 8 practices. Why was it important for you to be on the field? And was it a statement to the team that you were engaged? Why'd you start on the field and then decide when to hit pause?
Just to show my loyalty to my team and my teammates, you know. I know they always got my back, so I got their back too. So just showing them that I'm willing to not be a problem and a distraction, just go out there, just practice and, you know, and play and see what happens. That was my mindset.
When you went back to practice yesterday, did you know things were close? What was your mindset when you practiced yesterday?
I kind of knew, yeah.
What does the next level for James Cook? Obviously, last year you had a ton of rushing touchdowns. The stats were very impressive. What do you feel like you can continue to do?
I mean, just continue to keep doing me, you know, being me. And hopefully bring a Super Bowl here. That's what I'm trying to do and just keep elevating my game.
How much does it mean to you to be a part of this kind of prime core that they've locked up this year and over the last couple of years?
I mean, especially, you know, the guys that came in with me, we all got rewarded. And, I mean, now it's time for us to go play football and show them why we belong here.
James, did you ever feel misunderstood throughout this process?
No, because y'all don't know what I'm going through and y'all opinion don't matter. So it just me being myself and just staying true to myself and just believing in myself.
James, it's as old as contract in sports, the concept of, getting the money, getting the guy, and now you can, are they going to be able to about the way you're wired, you are going to.
Just by never settling, you know, never get complacent, always keep working, keep pushing yourself to the hardest and you know, keep going. I was really chilling. I wasn't really thinking about it. Like, I was just calm and just being me.
Did it ever get to a point where it bothered you?
No.
How long were you willing to go?
However long it took. However long it took. But we got it done, so we don't need to be discussing that. And let's play football.
Let's play football indeed.
I love it. Did James ever get to a point, where it bothered you? Nope.
Yeah.
I love it.
He's a man of few words.
Nope.
And when it comes to football or when it comes to contract extensions, he's just about the business. And I think what made him such an attractive player to the Bills in the first place was he is just inherently a self-motivated and hardworking athlete. He's a performer because of the work that he puts in. Now, he's also tremendously gifted physically, but he puts the work in as well. And I think that's what his teammates appreciate about him. That's certainly what the front office and the coaching staff appreciate about him, and it's why they made efforts to sign him to the contract extension we saw.
Yeah, we've always seen it through the years, and young players always have to see it for themselves sometimes. Not always, but sometimes they have to see it for themselves. They get in here, and so many young players have been so good at every level they have gone through, from middle school to high school to college, and then you get to the pros, and you think it's going to be more of the same, and you get in the door, and all of a sudden, everywhere you look in the locker room is somebody who's extremely gifted physically. The only thing that sets these guys apart is how intelligent they are and how hard they work. That's it.
And I think the important thing that Brandon Bean mentioned in his press conference this morning after they announced the signing was he reminded everybody, this is a guy that's got low mileage on the tires. The guy had 297 touches in his entire college career. Like, there are some players come out of college, they have four times that amount. Three times that amount.
Yeah, they do that in 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean, it's
low miles. And we know what the numbers and the analytics have said over the years. I think it's 2,000 touches.
Right.
And then after that, that's when you usually see a drop-off in most players. There are exceptions. Derrick Henry, Adrian Peterson. But there aren't many.
Right.
And signing him for another 4 years after this year, I think made sense to them in part because of the low mileage that he has in terms of touches, carries, and hits, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, for example, Derrick Henry's got three seasons where he's had over 300 touches. I'm sorry, four seasons where he's had over 300 touches. Last year was one of them, 325. He had 349 1 year, 378 1 year. It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, if you count James Cook's career touches in the pros, I mean, he's just over 530 carries now in his career, pro career, 297 total touches in college, and what's he got, like 100-something receptions? So 633?
Yeah.
You know? So he's a little over a third of the way there to 2,000. So
right.
There's a lot of gas left in that tank.
Exactly. So that he's going to be good for a little while, yeah. And he's tied up for at least that long.